Hello, I'm Dan Aykroyd, and welcome to this fine motion picture emporium. It's nice to know you're here tonight, rather than at home shoving cheap little plastic cartridges into cheap imported video systems that keep you and your family hostage in your own home or apartment. Now let's face it, big screen entertainment is what it's all about. We've enjoyed it for years. Movies are great. There's nothing like a good movie, or even a bad one for that matter.
One podcast, two assholes, and infinite possibilities. Strap in, for you're about to experience the brilliant awesomeness that is A Couple of Average Joes Movie Review Show. You're welcome.
Go.
Welcome back, my friends, to the podcast that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. I am Joe Spiegel, and sitting right there in front of me is...
Mike Sutherland.
How's it going?
Good.
All right. This week we are doing our Keep It Up with the Joneses episode. Mike and I are going to talk about that wonderful film and nothing else.
Yeah. Each and every week we do the same shit over and over again, and you're surprised by it.
Oh, I know. You get used to habits. Habits. So, all that and more on A Couple of Average Joes. Take it away.
Shirley.
Temple.
What?
Hmm?
Huh?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Meanwhile, how you doing?
All right, so Mike and I were in a bit of a rut this week. We had nothing to see in theaters. That's not a rut. You don't call that a rut?
No, it's not a rut.
What do you call it?
A rut is when you get stuck in like a trench and you continue along stuck in that trench for a long, long time.
Fine. We're in a bit of a pickle. How about that?
There you go.
You like pickle?
That's better.
All right, motherfucker. There we go. So, yeah, it was more dill than sweet, I would say. And we had a shitty list of films to pick through.
Oh, my God. Ouija.
And there was, for a moment, I actually wanted to see Boo, a Madea Halloween.
And I wanted to kill you.
And then all of a sudden, my senses came back around and said, what the hell are you doing? And no, that's not, no, fuck that. Fuck Boo, fuck you. So, keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, look, there was other things like Deepwater Horizon. But, I mean, how many based on blah, blah, blah fucking things you want to, So we went.
How many times are we going to fucking believe that Mark Wahlberg is a scientist?
Scientists are someone capable of doing anything other than weightlifting and acting.
Right.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, we saw our second Zach Galifianakis movie in the span of, I think, 3 weeks.
Yep.
So, you know, I will say this about Zach Galifianakis. The man is very talented, but he's not picking the best of roles lately. That use his talents as a comedian and actor, because he has range. He can act, he has like the Jack Black thing, right? Where he can be serious if he needs to, but most of the time he's just funny and goofy, right?
Right.
And that's what I like about Galifianakis. But like with Loomis Fargo or Masterminds or whatever the hell you want to call it, wasted characters mostly. And with this movie, it's poorly written. Okay, the comedy is poorly written. The story itself is the same old bargain basement, you know, I don't know, spy, fish out of water flick kind of thing, right? There's nothing that truly stands out about this movie, even though Greg Mottola is good enough as a director to be able to make a film that has no true substance to it, make it watchable. And that's what I noticed about this movie, is that this movie should have been a complete and epic failure. But Greg Mottola's directing and the charisma of the cast and everything, it keeps the movie from completely sinking.
Okay.
The movie's very, I hate this fucking word, man, but it's mediocre. It's advertised as a comedy.
Okay.
But the comedy doesn't work.
You said the same thing over and over. Just get into it. Why is it mediocre?
It's mediocre because it tries to sell you on these characters right from the get-go, where you have Isla Fisher's character and Zach Galifianakis' characters of Jeff and Karen, where they're this married couple in this nice house. He's got a good-paying job.
He's an HR guy.
She's doing what she likes to do, which is, at the moment, she thinks she likes to design bathrooms, right? And they have two good kids, you know, who are having a gay old time at their camp-out retreat. And And they try to sell us, you know, the filmmakers try to sell us on this movie that, oh yeah, someone as attractive as Isla Fisher in this marriage, and they finally have a free moment to themselves. They're gonna imagine getting freaky, but then it's just a dream. And instead they just end up watching TV together. And look, I totally get the whole, you know, Netflix and chill thing. I get it. I've done it. But it, come on, dude. It's trying to make you, what the movie's trying to do is, it's trying to make you see these characters as they have this dull life. It's like the beginning of a kid's toy commercial where they have this boring toy, like a ball in a cup or some shit, right? And they're bored as hell. And then all of a sudden, this savior comes in, you know, wearing a cape or fucking whatever, or he's got big magic doodly lines around him of energy and power. And then he gives them this new thing. And it's oh, right? And it's energizing, okay? That's what this movie tries to do for you. It do for the audience is that, oh, their lives are so boring and they've got nothing going on for themselves. And they've got boring neighbors and boring realtors and all this shit. And then, oh, and then the interesting neighbors show up. You know, they bought the house with cash and they get out of their cars and they're in love with each other. And they're very, what do they call it? They're very fancy and they have their etiquette is, you know, bar none, right? And now you have someone for them to envy and wish that, why can't we be that way with each other and blah, blah, blah. And look, I understand that things can get boring with marriages and life, but
okay. This is the movies. Who cares? We're not comparing real life to movies, at least in this one, but what's your point?
My point is that it felt fake.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. But again, I mean, we've kind of said nothing in the first 5 minutes of the show. I mean, we're instead of getting straight to the point, we've been circling around this thing like sharks. You know, we smell blood in the water, but we're not going after it because we're not too sure, you know, that we're being tricked. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same routine. I mean, look, the movie started off relatively okay. It's the same routine for Galifianakis. He gets up, he goes to work, says hi to everybody, but it seems like nobody gives him the respect that he wants.
Yeah.
Or should get.
They hate him because he's the HR guy.
I don't think they hate him. He just doesn't get the respect. He doesn't get the regular respect just because he's in HR.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody uses his computer and everybody, you know, takes advantage of him, but he allows it so because mm-hmm. it's not that big of a deal to him.
Yeah.
You know, these people come down from, you know, the third floor or the fourth floor or whatever floor they're on.
I think it was the sixth floor.
Yeah. The all important, highly
sensitive.
Yeah. Highly sensitive data information center from the sixth floor to use.
Where there's no internet or anything.
Yeah. So they come down and use his computer because he's okay with it.
And I knew that was going to tie into something later in the movie. That was predictable to me.
Right.
And if it's predictable to me being something computer related, I knew it was going to be predictable with you.
Right. And I was okay with that because you have to have a starting point. You have to have, I mean, it's a spy movie if you want to call it that. So you got to have that catalyst.
Yeah.
That idea that maybe he's the one that's involved.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not a twist, but they're trying to throw you a bone that you don't need.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it is that when he allows it to happen, I mean, he just sits there and, you know, he'll talk to them, they talk back. But when there's actual HR stuff involved,
yeah,
you know, most of the guys don't give him the respect
yeah.
that he should be getting because they feel that he's underneath them. But they like him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, they like, you know, the wife and everything else, Isla Fisher.
He's kind of a pushover.
Yeah, I guess so. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he knows people well. Mm-hmm. He treats people with respect and all this other shit. And that's kind of what you want to see in a movie anyways.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. They live a boring life.
Yeah.
You know, their kids go away to school and then they get all, or school, the kids go away to camp for a couple of weeks, which is an excuse not to have the kids in the movie so that they can do their thing.
And I was glad for that.
Yeah. So, but they get all wishy-washy and this fake emotional bullshit for, you know, the kids are going away for 2 weeks. So
yeah.
So what? Oh, my God, my kids are going away. And I've seen parents do that. Oh, my God, my kids are going away for 2 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do. Live your life. They're probably literally just like 10 miles away.
Yeah, I understand the bond. I do because I'm a parent. But trust me, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
That's a saying that means something.
Yeah, but it's also get the fuck out of my house for 10 minutes so I can have some alone time.
Yeah, can I walk around naked for 5 fucking minutes?
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't even need to see
that. I don't give a shit. That it happens.
But
accept
it. Yeah, okay, Peter Griffin. That's all I could. That's how I see every...
Fat guy?
Yeah, not a fat guy. Every guy just walking around as Peter Griffin. Because, you know.
I know exactly. Because I can stand at a certain angle and it does that.
Yeah. But then it's so perfect because then I, you know, that image just, I just replace anybody's head on Peter Griffin's body and it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
And the first act of this movie is just getting to know these two people.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're friends. The guy. See, here's the thing. Zach Galifianakis wants to be so involved with everybody. He wants to have his man crush or his best friend or whatever. And it just seems that no one really wants to give him the time of day.
Yeah, they're friends, Dan and Meg.
Yeah.
Matt Walsh and Mary Beth Monroe.
Thank you. Yeah, Matt and Mary Beth. And Dan Craverston, you've seen in a whole ton of movies.
Yeah, Matt Walsh is, he was like the doctor in Knocked Up and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he was in The Hangover.
Yeah.
He played the doctor in The Hangover.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, can you cut the shit, guys? I've got stuff to do. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. He he's always in something Apatow related.
Right. I didn't know Ari Shaffir was in this. Huh. Ari Shaffir is a funny motherfucker, too. But as I'm watching the movie, I just realized that, you know, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And as we're getting through the first act, what's going on is, again, as I've said before, it's just their day-to-day bullshit. Get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to work.
Yeah.
And it goes on like that for, I don't know, 5-8 minutes or so. But we get to learn about their lives, and then we meet John Hamm and Gail Godot.
Yeah.
Or Godot or whatever.
Yeah, everyone I hear says Godot.
And we don't know about them until we find out that the house near them has been sold. They live in this little cul-de-sac of perfect houses, which reminds me, it looked just like
the set of Desperate Housewives.
Well, yeah, kind of, but it probably was. It was probably filmed on the Universal Pictures backlot.
Yeah.
But
it was a 20th Century Fox movie.
Okay, but, you know, doesn't matter. It still looked like it was filmed there.
Yeah.
I mean, how they still use that back. I was watching some TV show. It was just a piece of it, and it was like, was it Supergirl or, I don't know. I think it was.
Hell, it could even have been in Scream 3.
Yeah, but no, it was a recent, oh, it was, maybe it was Bull. I think it was Bull.
Okay.
And it's the Universal backlot. I mean, you could tell. It was exactly where they had filmed History of the World Part 1, where the Roman soldiers were coming around the corner, and you see Henny Youngman come out. It was that exact spot. I'm like, hey, way to dress it up, guys.
It still blows my mind that Seinfeld was filmed there at Universal, because I always thought they filmed it in New York.
Right.
And they did. I was like, holy shit.
Right. And you could, whenever they film it on the Back to the Future, you know, near the library, Save the Public Library, you can always tell.
Yep, Save the Clock Tower.
Yep. So, yes, exactly, Save the Clock Tower. And anyways, so you see Tim and Ellie, you see John and Gail as they finally arrive after the house is full of stuff, right? Because you see the movers come in and they hug and kiss, and, you know, her dress perfectly lifts up.
Yep.
You know,
like Harry and Ozzie or something.
Yeah. So that when he's hugging her, you don't see her ass, but you just see the bare bottom, you know, where the leg meets the cheek, just barely. You know, and you see Isla Fisher with her fucking Star Wars binoculars or whatever the fuck. Where did she get those?
HR.
Apparently. Jesus Christ.
Dude, did you hear what I said?
No.
I said, Harry and Ozziet.
Ozzy and Harriet, yeah. Harry and Ozziet. I didn't even pick it. I knew exactly what you were saying.
I was like, that didn't sound right.
And then, you know, of course, Isla Fisher's fucking spying on them, and then the funny moment when Zach comes home, hey, you still spying on our, you know, neighbors, and there's John Hamm, and Gail right in their house.
Yeah, and look, I purposely didn't put this in my review for the movie because I already read it in someone else's, and I don't like plagiarizing. So, but what I read was this movie is just an extended version of the trailer. everything that's in the fucking trailer is this movie.
Yeah.
And just longer scenes. That's it. Except for the whole, you know, except for most of the part with, you know, Patton Oswalt at the end.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, you see the whole movie in the trailer. And I don't, you know, fucking waste of time for me with this movie. But there are winning points with this movie. And the winning points are when you finally do get introduced to Gal Gadot and John Hamm's characters. You know, the Joneses, right? You know, what are they, Tim and Natalie?
Uh-huh.
So they had a good chemistry with each other. I truly believe that, you know, they sold their parts where I believe that they were a good couple, you know?
Sort of, yeah.
They worked well off each other. I mean, he had his own thing he wanted to do, and you could tell that she's more into the spying than he is. But still, they had a chemistry with each other.
Right.
You know, two sexy people. Sexy right. chemistry.
Sure.
So I look, I know what the movie's trying to do. The movie's trying to do this thing where, you know, it's making like this is what Zach Galifianakis and Isla Fisher could be and should be, right? Is they could be these people.
Yeah, that's what they should be.
If they let loose.
Because they're fucking completely believable at being anything other than.
Well, I mean, look, this couple is like the Dos Equis commercials, okay?
Right, but actually believing that Isla Fisher and Zach Galifianakis could be anything other than mediocre fucking, you know, HOA.
I know. That's another funny part.
I'm just trying to figure out the whole fucking, I'm trying to figure out my whole word splat. You know, middle income, desperate to live life, you know, mom and dad.
Keep searching. You'll find it.
It'll happen at some point.
But yeah, and that's hard to buy, those two characters, especially Isla Fisher. I mean, how gorgeous she is. Come on.
Right.
So, but
and what kills me is that she is the typical fucking, you know, middle class.
Bored housewife.
Upper middle class. Yeah, middle class or upper middle class, bored housewife. And they sell this whole middle class bullshit. Come on. Like everybody's going to live like that.
Come on, like there's still a middle class.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the one thing I did like about it is when, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but when she was dressed in the lingerie.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a minute because that's important for me to point out because, what's the word I'm looking for here? It sets a good expectation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my POS set that expectation too.
So... We were watching the fucking movie. So John Hamm gives his gift to Galifianakis and Fisher. And the first thing I pointed out to him was like, oh, that's a spying thing.
Yeah. I first thing I thought was.
It's going to be used as a weapon.
Yeah.
Which I thought, you know, or both, right?
Yeah.
And sure as shit, as we're going through the whole thing, the Junetoberfest comes up. That's their June-Octoberfest.
Yeah.
So they have the entire cul-de-sac gets together, people from work.
Yeah.
And they have this, they throw this little party. And of course, you have...
Joneses.
Well, yeah, but you have, what's her name? Mary Beth Monroe.
Yeah.
Right? And she's the shit talker. She's the one that starts all the garbage with the new people or whatever.
She's the gossip queen.
Anyone that's a threat to her.
Yeah.
Right. You know, good looking or whatever, new people. Because
insecurity on her sleeve.
Yeah. And that's, and I like that. I did. There are moments in this movie that I liked that worked well how it was acted out or how it was scripted.
Yeah. But that's what bugged me also about the movie is that you had a good thing like that where she's, that's an honest character.
Right.
But then the other part where she's treating her husband like he's neutered.
You know, I like that too.
She
wants me to finally start standing up.
Yeah, it just felt forced. You know it.
You're right. It did, but I kind of like the fact that you know she's this shitty realtor.
Yeah.
Who thinks that you know she's awesome and crazy? You know, look, there are some true people out there that I'm endeared to. Shelley's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's fucking awesome. Right. And she is one of the few wacky original people. Uh-huh. Just funny. Has like the response, the perfect response to almost everything. You know, just
quick wit.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's absolutely just.
That's what I'm still striving for is a quick wit.
Outstandingly funny all the time.
Uh-huh.
And a super cool person. And it's all in the family too. So Paul and Shelley and everybody else. And I'm not saying that because Shelley's my ex-wife. I'm saying that because I genuinely like these people.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd like me. I don't care.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
fuck me, right?
I genuinely like them because they are honest people.
Yeah.
And I work with some of those people as well. There's a handful of people that I work with that are genuine and honest, and I respect them, and they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to surround myself with people like that, because if you don't, you know, then it's like living in the auto industry. It's not real, and I'm not picking on you but I'm picking on that industry because that's what it is.
How are you going to move up in a room full of no's?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you stay faithful in a room full of hoes?
Exactly.
Thank you, Kanye.
Yes. I don't listen to the music, but
there is some.
Sometimes he picks out a fucking turd nugget, and it turns out to be not full of peanuts.
Yeah.
So when you see most of these people, and this is my problem with the movie, is that with the exception of Galifianakis and Isla Fisher's character, everybody around them is fake.
Yeah.
Except a few people. And that's kind of what, like,
symbolic.
It's kind of like life.
Yeah.
In general. And this movie could have been so much better.
And that's what upsets me about it being a Greg Mottola film, is he's done some really good movies. He did Superbad, you know, he did Paul.
Right. I like Paul.
Yeah. And he did Adventureland, which I had to write a retro review for because I fucking love that movie.
Right.
You know, so.
But this stinks of studio tampering.
Oh, yeah. He has no writing credit on this at all.
Right.
And the other films he did.
This guy, the guy that produced it, wrote it. Michael Lesser.
Yeah.
Whoever the fuck that guy
is. Yeah,
you
can't even access his name.
Yeah.
It's not even Wikipedia-able.
Wikipedia-able. So
I just did that. Boom. I just put that in the.
Yep. We own the rights. So let's see what he has.
You
written.
Mean Dupree. I still don't remember much about that movie.
Ugh. That movie was fucking awful.
Still never seen The Maiden Heist.
I don't know. Glory Days. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Was that a remake?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Glory Days. The Maiden Heist.
Well, I guess
he has written one, two. He created Glory Days, but I've never seen Glory Days. I have no idea what it's about.
Huh.
I didn't even know it was out. There's 10 episodes, and I didn't even know it fucking came out. Walter Becker, Michael Lesser, Kelly Blatz, Matt Bush, Drew Seeley.
Never 1980s heard of it.
Wisconsin. One season. Oh, it's got Tim Meadows in it. I like Tim Meadows.
Yeah, Tim Meadows is also on another TV show.
Son of Zorn.
Yeah, but there was shit.
Saturday Night Live.
No. Something recent that he was a member. He was like the principal at the school or.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not a principal. He's on the Goldbergs.
Goldberg. There we go. Thank you.
He plays a
teacher.
He's a counselor.
Yeah.
So anyways. It lasted 10 episodes and nobody. What fucking channel was it on? Sorry. I mean, I got completely sidetracked by
this.
Keep
scrolling down and you'll get some more information about the show, like the studio and all that shit.
Okay.
Wow, that's fucking detailed.
Yeah, see?
Keep going.
Did you know it was filmed at Ambassador College in Pasadena, California?
No, I did not.
It was run by the Worldwide Church of God. I don't even care, dude.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Why are we still here?
Because you wanted me to scroll down. So Tim Lesser is doing How the Grinch Stole Christmas again.
Mike Lesser.
Yeah, Tim Lesser. So, and again, we don't need that. We don't need a fucking remake a remake.
I mean, look, I know it's only been 16 years, but still, that's still fairly recent.
And he wrote You, Me, and Dupree, which has Owen Wilson. It was directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. Kate Hudson, Owen Wilson, Matt Dildo.
I just don't remember much about it. I just remember that Owen Wilson
plays the best friend.
Yeah, he plays the third wheel.
And he moves in. People who like this also liked Drill Bit Taylor. So that's all you need to know.
The only part I liked about that was when the kids started fighting back. And that's all I can remember about that movie.
So, anyways. Oh, Seth Rogen's in that movie, too. And Bill Hader. And Lance Armstrong. Yeah.
Yeah, he cheated.
Made 21 million. Gross 75 million, but the budget was 54.
I love how people get so upset about finding out that quote unquote sports heroes are they cheated in some way or another.
I don't know where that came from, but okay.
Lance fucking Armstrong.
Oh, who cares? Nobody gives a shit about Lance Armstrong cheating. Then they make a big deal out of it, and then they find out that everybody does that.
Yeah.
The entire fucking field dopes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who dopes better.
Yeah. So that kind of evens itself out, doesn't it?
Yeah, guess it does.
Yeah. So if everyone in the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball, if they're all doing steroids.
Yeah, if you're all juicing, then good for you.
It's even field.
I don't even fucking care. It's not that important to me.
Yeah, so why are
it's
we
not
talking?
That important to life anyways. I mean, let these guys do what they want to do. They're getting bigger. They're getting better. They're getting faster. Enough. I want to talk about the goddamn movie. So we're getting into about the second act where we find out that the Joneses are using Galifianakis and Isla Fisher, yeah. Well, Galifianakis in particular, because someone is using his computer to access or talk to Mr. Big or the bad guy.
Yeah, because at the barbecue, you saw John Hamm's character pretending he had to use the bathroom, and he went to Galifianakis' den.
Right.
Yeah.
And stole a badge. Actually, took a picture of it on his phone.
Yeah.
So he could scan it.
Yeah. You know more about this shit than I do. You're a tech guy. But what wonders, couldn't they have found out a better way than just going to his house, since it was going through his computer at work? Or are they just too afraid to access it through there?
Well, the whole point of being a spy is to gain access to something without leaving a trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what bugs me is that he slid his phone across a card reader.
Uh-huh.
That's all you're going to give me is an uh-huh? He slid his phone across a card reader. He slid his phone across a card reader.
Okay. He's a spy.
How fucking thin is your phone?
It's razor thin.
How thin is a card?
Oh, yeah. I know. A 16th of an inch?
You're killing me, Joe. Killing me. Yeah, he just slid his fucking phone across that card reader,
mm-hmm.
You know, these little fucking credit card readers,
mm-hmm.
and you're just, uh-huh.
Well,
like, it's not a big deal to you, like, it's a normal thing.
I assume it had some kind of a scanning thing in it.
He slid his card across a fucking credit card reader, dude. A phone. His iPhone.
I didn't notice that part.
Right across the credit card reader.
Hmm.
I know I'm harping on this, but you're just sitting there going, uh-huh. Like, okay. Because it works.
Yep. I'm right here, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
Uh-huh.
And then he's able to access, you know, the HR.
Yeah, and it's his email. And
which doesn't make any sense. I mean, aren't most of those doors fucking locked? Some of them, like HR would have a key lock.
That's right. He did fucking do that, didn't he?
Right. Anyways.
Yeah.
So he does a dump of all the deleted emails, which you can actually do.
Uh-huh.
And what's nice about it is they're actually getting a little bit more realistic about the way computers work instead of these stupid fucking 3D cyber world bullshit, you know, like the movie with Angelina Jolie, Hackers.
Oh.
You know, or, yeah. Yeah, you know, when what is his name? He was Mr. Michelle Pfeiffer. God damn it. He was in Short Circuit.
Oh, Fisher.
Yeah.
Fisher Stevens.
Thank you. Fisher Stevens. You know, like when Fisher Stevens is a super hacker.
Yeah.
And he's able to get into the cyber world and drill down exactly to where these guys are
you
based
ain't
on a
trace buster me. I got a trace buster, buster, buster.
Ooh, a trace buster, 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 buster. Get another buster. The big hit. So he figures out what is going on, but he doesn't know if it's actually Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And so he decides to become friends with him, right? And he takes him out to... He's actually following him.
Yeah.
And then they end up, because Zach Galifianakis also does this, his home brew. He's a home brewer, micro brewer, right?
Yeah.
And then they go out to eat at some special restaurant. So they go to a Chinese restaurant, but it's in the back where they serve snake or whatever.
Yeah, let's take you to the real restaurant.
Right. You know, where Lee, what's his name?
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee. Thank you.
His character does not have a name in this movie that I'm aware of.
So, well, it does. I can't remember his name. But Bobby Lee's character, I like Bobby Lee because he's funny. I didn't like him at first
mm-hmm.
when he was on Mad TV.
Yeah.
But then he started doing some other characters. And God damn it, he's funny.
He is funny. He's one of those guys where you don't want him to be in an entire film, but you like it when he shows up for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like with, I don't know, Key and Peele kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, of course, I still do want to see... Michael Key fucking hit that chicken.
I know. I don't want to see that movie.
Yeah.
The fucking the James Franco movie coming
why
out.
Him? Why him?
Yeah, why me? It's or why him?
Why him, yeah.
And then he hires Keegan. Is Michael? Is it Keegan Michael Key? No, it's Michael. It's P.
It's Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah. So as his personal trainer.
Yeah, it's like his Zen guru or whatever you want to call
him. Yeah, his Dalai Lama type.
Yeah.
Who's training him on parkour and fucking how to fight ninjutsu style and whatever else. He just comes out of nowhere. And the only one, there's a movie that I want to say it was a Mel Brooks movie, but it's probably not a Mel Brooks movie. But it was a movie in the 80s that had a character exactly like, Pink Panther.
Okay.
I can't believe I've missed that one where, you know, Judo is his name. So, I mean,
it's been a long time since I've seen the Pink Panther movies. Yeah.
Where it just comes out of nowhere and starts attacking fucking Clouseau. God damn it, that was so funny. And then the phone rings. They have to stop.
Yeah.
And the house is all fucking destroyed, and they come back later, and the house is all perfect again. Blake Edwards, just a mastermind when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
so tangent number four. And
more interesting than this movie.
Yeah, and... Of course, you know, you get the warnings, which is, you know, don't let the CGI snake bite you.
Yeah.
The obvious CGI snake.
I think the only part of the snake that didn't look that bad was the actual head itself.
Right.
But the rest of it, yeah.
No, the whole thing looked fucking terrible. And then they put the head right on top of the food.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Zach Galifianakis is fucking completely drunk and it bites him, which I thought was funny because this is exactly how I would react, which is the snake bites him. He's like, oh, look, he's chomping away. And I almost laughed out loud,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was actually that funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty much the only real big laugh. Well, I'm sorry, there's other laughs. But it just goes on. I mean, the second act was just meh.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we get it. You know, you're spies now, and they're now you've involved Galifianakis and Isla Fisher, and now they get to become... something that they, you know, always wanted to become.
Yeah.
They've always wanted to live their life.
Like it's become True Lies mixed with Mr. and Mrs. Smith or something.
Exactly.
And it tries to be like, okay, for good examples, during the car chase scene, right? Where their kids call while they're in the middle of this shootout car chase.
Right.
Like, why would you answer the fucking phone? You're being shot at. Your kids can fucking wait.
Yeah.
Right? But no, it's funny. So answer the phone. And then he's all, you know, split the cookie. Split the cookie.
Right.
No. Doing jokes like that during high-speed chases works sometimes. But it's already been done in better movies, overall movies. So don't just leave it alone. Don't try it.
Yeah, they could have done something, but...
Yeah.
It would have been better if you just had a regular conversation with a kid.
Yeah.
Hey, how's everything going?
You know, what sells me mostly on those parts was how seriously Jon Hamm and Gal Gadot take their characters.
Right.
You know, they're professionals. You know, they have little qualms here and there about their lives, especially Hamm, but...
But that whole scene was set up because... And now we get into it, which is Isla Fisher was following Gal Gadot,
mm-hmm.
and she follows her into Bloomingdale's. Which I didn't realize that they lived in New York, but that's okay. It's my fault. And as Isla Fisher's doing the spy thing, she gets caught.
Yeah.
And Godot does this.
And you know Godot probably noticed her from the get-go.
Right. And she knows what's going on. Godot knows what's going on, so she tries to pull Isla Fisher into it and get her believing that, hey, you know, I'm not who you think I am.
Yeah.
And she's all, and Godot is dressed in lingerie,
mm-hmm.
looking fucking smoking hot.
Yes.
But she finally gets Isla Fisher to release the burden of her anti-sexual existence,
yeah.
if you want to call it that. And then when she gets home, she's wearing this flowery, I don't know, bathrobe,
uh-huh.
short bathrobe. But the cool thing is, okay, so she takes out the bathrobe and she's wearing this fucking hot lingerie.
Yeah.
But she's not the skinny, typical model, what do you want to call it, super thin, perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's got curves and and when she sits down, she's got like a belly and stuff like that. And that's fine. I'm not, she's fucking smoking hot.
Yeah, she's just a touch below full-figured woman.
Yeah. Well, not really, but whatever. She's normal.
Yeah.
She looks normal.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine. That is absolutely, and that's what I'm getting to at this point is, again, they've decided to go this route where instead of making Isla Fisher work out, you know, and become perfect in somebody's eyes, whoever, in my eyes she would be, you know, skinny, blah, 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 you know, the typical non-housewife exercise freak, right?
Yeah, yeah, doing yoga while her husband's at work.
Yeah, and she's got a pooch. She's obviously had kids, but she's still pretty, and she's still, like I said, she's still smoking hot. I don't know why I'm fucking harping on this shit.
Because you don't want to seem like a dick.
Well, yeah, but the normalcy of it.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah,
that's
she what didn't I'm trying have to get to. She didn't have to be perfect, but she still looked great.
Yeah, and that's what makes the character a little more believable, right?
Yeah.
So, and then of course she sees what's going on next door, blah blah blah, as Galifianakis is trying to fuck her.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even give a shit what's going on. He's like, okay, we're going to do this right now.
Yeah, he's in dog mode.
All over the place, wherever we can. And then they kick the fucking glass sculpture over and they find the little bug.
Yeah.
And that's when they decide to go over. Now, I'm super glad that half of the shit that they had in the trailer was cut out.
Yeah.
Because, again, as I said in my piece of shit, it was adding in dumb voiceovers to be funny.
Yep.
And trying to compete with other comedians who could fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
Is not funny. It's forced bullshit.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I noticed between Galifianakis and Jon Hamm was they weren't trying. You could tell they weren't trying to compete with each other.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just let it happen naturally. And the same thing with Isla Fisher and Zach Galifianakis. I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to compete with each other to see who's funnier.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that was fine. But there were other moments in the movie where they were trying to do that,
yeah.
Where one person was trying to be funnier than, and it just, trying to out-funny someone is just not funny.
Yeah, I agree.
It gets old.
I totally agree. It's, yeah. You get to this point where now they go over there to the house and they start checking out their shit.
Right.
And then they find out, oh, goddamn, they got all this spy type stuff.
Except
in there.
Whose house and whose house did they go to?
The fuck faces go over to the Joneses.
Yeah.
Well, because they're watching the Jones, they're watching the Joneses.
No, they were having sex, but, wouldn't want to keep the audience apprised of who goes where.
Are you done?
Keep up with the Sutherlands.
So, yeah, they end up going, Galifianakis and Fisher.
Thank you.
They end up going over to the Joneses because of the damn bug, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and then that's
don't
where...
Don't look to me for fucking...
And that's where we had that stupid part in the trailer where when she's knocked out and he bumps her head and she's got her... they got her...
No,
you
used the pen.
Well, yeah. She's knocked out because of the dart pen. All right. But what I'm trying to say is, yeah, because you bringing that up about them adding, sounds in, voiceovers and shit like that, that reminded me of like when Patton Oswalt got pissed off about having to do punch-up on animated films.
Right.
And he's like, yo, can you make someone make a joke off camera, something funny to make the movie seem better?
Right.
And he's like, how the fuck, what the fuck do you want, what? What? And then he's in this movie, so
yeah.
It's fun.
Do an off-camera fart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or someone off camera that we'll never see says, oh, I just slipped on with my bottom into some butterscotch. And he's all wackity smackity doo. Yeah. Love Patton Oswalt. So yeah, I'm glad that the movie didn't do that. And then there was a couple things that were in the trailers that they did differently, like different kind of takes, like
right.
Where Galifianakis yells into his tie. Uh-huh. They didn't do that. Because I kept waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't do that either.
Yeah, that would have been stupid.
Yeah. But, he did kind of yell into his tie, but only after they were...
After the jig was up.
Yeah, after the jig was up. The gigolo was up. What was I going to say before your fart interrupted me? Okay, so I did get a laugh out of the fact that when she got the fucking dart stuck in her,
yeah.
And he kept hitting her head on the doors and shit like that. Okay, I'm always a fan of that because it is funny.
Slapstick?
Yeah, it's just stupid slapstick every time, you're carrying someone and whack their head.
Yeah, but with the whole voiceover drunk thing that they did in the trailer, that was dumb.
Right, but I'm not talking about the voiceover drunk thing on the trailer.
No, when he's actually hitting her head.
Talking about the movie. Let me finish my thought before I fucking forget. They get home and he fucking dumps her on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Because because the Joneses finally end up home.
Yeah.
So fucking he completely just drops her on the floor, ragdoll style, and then she's rolling over and then she sees him and then she crawls over to him and starts fucking dry up. She's like, yeah, mama likes the whatever the fuck she said.
Yeah.
He's like, not now. This is not, I don't like this. She that was funny.
Yeah.
She just her fucking, manhandling him and goddamn it. Anyways.
So, and then that's when Galifianakis starts wondering about the Joneses, and he decides to he decides to how did he end up talking to security?
Jesus Christ.
I don't fucking remember.
How can you not remember? He had the chip. We were just talking about the chip. He took the chip to dude from fucking Hunt for Red October.
Kevin Dunn.
Yes.
Head of security. Yes.
Wasn't he? Is he in that movie or is he in? He was in a submarine movie.
He was in Godzilla 1998.
He was in that.
He was in Stir of Echoes. He was in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah. He played the.
The one who foresaw the end of the world.
Yep. That's right. Valentine's Day.
He was in Valentine's Day?
No, he wasn't he the one that was. Oh. Was that Valentine's Day or was that?
Valentine's Day. Bummer.
Yeah.
Well, no. That was the Paramus chick.
Yeah.
The one that had
no,
sex.
No, his was the other one.
His was the
December
end of the, yeah.
something.
Yeah. December 31st or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
And then Bill Murray goes into the whole thing about fucking. Oh, he was also. Never mind.
Anyway, yeah.
I always get him. I think I always say he's the one that was in an officer. Not an officer. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, Kevin Pollak? You mix Kevin Dunn and Kevin Pollak?
No, I always think that Kevin Dunn is in that fucking movie.
Oh, I don't. No, he wasn't in that. Yeah. The only. I think Kevin Dunn also made a. Well, shit, I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, he
was in.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that he's the Sam Witwicky's dad in Transformers 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly, and he was in Small Soldiers.
Yeah,
and there's one other thing that he was in. It'll come to me in a second.
You could scrolly.
I could. Milton. He played Milton Englund in Ghostbusters 2. The Black Dahlia, Bonfire of the Vanities,
Hot Shots.
Yep, that's right. Lieutenant Commander James Block. Transformers, Lions for Lambs. Wow, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's got a filmography, dude.
Snake Eyes.
Yep, there's Stir of Echoes.
Oh, he was in Jobs. Oh, I'm sorry for that.
Have Nixon. You seen either one of those movies? What? Steve Jobs or Jobs?
Nope, I refuse to.
I know.
Lived it. Live Free or Die.
Yeah, but that's what's weird is Live Free or Die Hard came out in 2007.
Right.
So I don't know what Live Free or Die is.
Well, let's look, since we're wasting our time. From the writers of Seinfeld.
From two of the writers of Seinfeld.
From two of the writers of Seinfeld. Part-time for half a season. Zoe Deschanel, Michael Rapaport, Judah Friedlander, Greg, and Andy Robin. Let's see. A clueless, aspiring criminal spends his days forging rebate coupons and selling speakers out of the back of his van. That's it.
Okay, we're good.
Hey, man, fuck it. That's a real thing, too. People forging coupons
uh-huh.
all the time.
How do you forge a coupon?
I don't know. Pretty sure it's... I don't care.
All right. Let's get this movie over with.
Well, you know.
Why are you looking up Christopher Collins?
I'm not. His name is Christopher Lawrence Latta. Played Starscream in Cobra Commander. And then he ended up eating a bullet.
Starscream. Okay, so...
He originated the voice of Mr. Burns in the first season episodes of Simpsons.
Hmm.
And he was King Koopa's Cool Cartoons. He played King Cooper. Koopa.
King Koopa, yeah. Bowser. Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike. All right, so.
Yeah, okay, let's just fucking drive that one more into the ground. Yay. It's Wednesday. We get it.
Almost, yeah. All right, so the movie pretty much, I mean, it ends up with.
Dude, Kevin Dunn gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
And that's when the whole fucking car chase scene happens. You know, and then we saw that in the trailer. On your wife?
Yes.
Need to get a head start.
Yes, and then that was one of those parts that sold me on John Hamm's character.
I know where you're going with this. Look, let's just cut to the fucking chase. This movie sucks until...
until two things happen.
What?
Patton Oswalt shows up.
Yes.
And there's a lovely lesbian kissing scene.
Exactly.
All right, so...
Fucking Patton Oswalt's name is Bruce Springsteen.
Yes. And you look, his character could have been a lot funnier, but him just showing up was awesome.
His character could be a lot more funnier.
Yes.
Anytime Patton Oswalt comes into a movie, he makes that movie better.
I watched that fucking movie Freaks of Nature because I bought it on Blu-ray because they had like a special deal, right?
And your point Best Buy.
And they pimp Patton Oswalt's name on the fucking cover of that movie.
He's in it for 3 minutes.
If that. If he was in only in it for 90 seconds, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Don't fucking pimp his name if he's only in the movie for a cameo amount of time.
And they didn't pimp his movie in this name.
Well, yeah, they didn't pimp him at
They
all.
Didn't pimp his movie in this name.
I got you.
Yeah. But so, they didn't even bring his name up in the movie.
Yeah.
It's I'm sure it's in the fine print, but any movie that Patton Oswalt is in,
yeah.
he makes better.
Yeah. I agree.
And I don't give a shit what he thinks. Patton Oswalt is just enormously fucking talented.
Yes.
And the way that he is able to, he just plays himself. Mm. Every fucking thing he does.
Yes.
Even like he played the penguin in a Batman in one of those
college
funny
humor.
Or die or college humor things.
Yeah.
And God damn it, he was vicious.
Uh-huh.
And then he turned into fucking Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, him and the fucking the police officer are standing there while Batman shoots people.
Yeah.
He just goes, night, night. No, you killed him. No, he's just sleeping. Just fucking, and the look on Oswald's face when they're doing this is just, it reminds me of just genuine, this is fucking stupid reaction.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is fucking stupid, right?
Yeah.
And he does that in this movie as well. And you think he's just going to do this normal, you know, stupid fucking Hollywood big bad guy boss.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you got the chips? Yep. Give him the chips. Okay. Well, here we go. Here's your money. You can go now. You know?
Yeah.
And they almost make it out. But that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
Make the drop, take the money, go.
Yeah. Why stretch it out?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
And but the whole hotel scene, this last act of the movie where he's, you know, he finally is like, okay, now we got to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about this, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
You're like, I remember you. You're that fucking jerk off that, you know, the HR guy that got me fired, right?
Yeah.
And then it just goes on from there. Big gunfight scenes later, and fucking Patton Oswalt escapes until the very end. You know. Then nobody. What did he say? Nobody fucks with the boss or some shit like that. Right before he blows up.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it just look. And then the movie has the ending. You know, where it's a year later, and now they're, because of their experience with the Joneses, Galifianakis and Fisher have now decided to venture out and enjoy life in the world. And, you know, they're on vacation in Caracas or wherever the fuck it is, right? Or Marrakesh.
Right.
They're in Marrakesh. And they run into the Joneses and they're undercover and, you know, hilarity ensues.
Right.
And look, this is one of those movies that I don't, even though it has some decent moments to it and decent characters, it's one of those movies that I don't ever care to see again. I want nothing to do with. And look, Isla Fisher and Gal Gadot having a hot makeout scene. Great. Awesome. But it's fleeting. You know, it lasts for a second and I'm done with it. So anyway, I gave the movie a 4 out of 10.
Yep. The average rating is a 4.4 out of 10. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 21%.
Yeah. Got 21%. I think, what was my prediction?
45.
Like? Yeah.
Mine was a 40.
Okay. So yeah, there you go, man. It's an average movie. But it leans more towards suck because it should have been funny, and instead it's lame funny. It's forced funny. This movie would have probably been a lot better as an actual more serious drama than anything else. Or just, you could have spent more time working on the... They should have had Patton Oswalt do the punch-up on the fucking humor.
Probably did. Okay, I'm going to read this to you.
What?
As of October 30th, Keeping Up with the Joneses has grossed $10 million in North America and $5.1 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $15.8 million against a budget of $40 million. Listen to this second sentence carefully. The film was expected to gross $7 to $9 million in its opening weekend. However, it only grossed $2 million on its first day and $5.6 million in its opening weekend.
I think I know what it means. It did a total of $5.6 million, but they make it sound like $2 million plus $5.6 million.
Yeah, why would they fucking write that? Why didn't they just say it only the film was expected to gross $7 to $9 million from its opening weekend and ended up with $5.6? Why couldn't they just do that?
I don't know.
Because people just like to see themselves or listen to themselves in their own head.
I guess. It's Wikipedia, man. It's free.
True. Anyways. This movie could have been so much better, and I'm sorry that Greg Mottola decided to go with this script written by Michael Lesur, who's written a total of 4 things, and one of them is a fucking remake of a remake.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you going to add to it?
I don't care.
Or detract.
Maybe they're going to have Jim. I hope Jim Carrey's in the movie again.
He's not going to do it again.
How do you know? They pay him enough, he will.
I mean, yeah, he got $20 million plus, you know, everything else on top for the original, the last one, but I don't think that they'll do that.
How do you know?
The movie was critically panned.
Again,
and he talked about how completely uncomfortable how miserable he was in that costume and in those.
They can give him
lenses.
A CGI suit.
The Green Lantern it. Look, I, Jim Carrey's in it. You don't remake it. You make a sequel. Okay, you call it Grinchier or something.
Even more Grinchier.
Yeah, Grinchier old man. I don't know.
Benedict Cumberbatch, Caitlin Maher, Lauren Dickinson.
I have a feeling it's going to be all CG. What do you think? Look, I don't feel like going into a review of the Ron Howard's version of live-action version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but...
I was looking it up. It's animation.
I will say this. We'll say
Como
this.
O Grinch Rubu a Natal.
Thank you. All right. So I will say that I think the critics were harsh on that movie because I thought that Jim Carrey gave an extremely committed performance to being as offbeat and fucking hilarious as possible with his character. There are scenes in that movie... I've seen this movie at least 36 times because I got kids, right? So there are scenes in that movie where Jim Carrey is just chewing up the fucking scenery in front of the camera, and it's hilarious. The guy is so goddamn talented. I mean, there's scenes that still make me laugh my ass off every time I watch the movie. I love the part where he's whispering, and all of a sudden his echo, you know, you're an idiot.
I don't want to do a fucking complete review of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but I'm going to fucking do it anyways.
I could have done more. I could have talked about the hot chicks that show up, and they were climbing the mountain.
You're still talking about a fucking movie you didn't want to fucking talk about.
I know.
So stop it.
Okay. So, do you have anything else?
Yes, I do.
What?
Do you see this ad where it says Synchrony Bank?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a Doctor Strange ad? What the fuck? Seriously?
Because...
You don't even...
To be safe?
Shut up.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm looking at the most anticipated films of 2017.
Depends on what site you're on.
IMDb. Okay. Most anticipated films of 2017. IMDb is the grandfather of all these fucking sites. Everybody uses it that's in the movie industry.
Logan is more anticipated than Episode 8.
Okay.
I know. I jumped ahead of you.
No, that's fine. I don't care about that. But I'm going to scroll down, and you tell me what's wrong with this picture.
Okay. Well, their number 2 is missing.
Yes, thank you.
But the fact that the first thing I noticed was not that number 2 was missing, is that the Divergent series.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be a TV movie.
Yeah, Divergent series Ascendant. Is the most anticipated film of the third most anticipated film, but number 2 is missing. We have no idea when an Avatar comes out in 2020, and that's number 4.
Yeah,
Despicable Me, the plot is unknown.
Yeah,
Captain Underpants, which I fucking actually want to see.
Holy shit, the American, are we going to Captain Underpants?
Pacific Rim,
Nick
Maelstrom.
Kroll's doing a voice in it.
Pacific Rim, Maelstrom.
That's in 2018.
Thank you. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Okay, that's
okay, that should be in the top 3.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That should be in the top 5, probably.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
There we go.
The Mummy. Mm. Alien Covenant. King Arthur Legend of the Sword.
That one looks cool.
No. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you even thought it looked cool.
No, I didn't. Bullshit. Uncharted. They don't even have a fucking release date for that.
He hasn't even finished the script for it.
Power Rangers. Oh, look, there's a lightning bolt. Resident Evil. Jungle Book.
It comes out in 2016. It comes out, or no, wait, that comes out in March, I think, of next year.
Another Jungle Book?
What?
Yeah, there's another Jungle Book coming out in 2018.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit.
The Trap, Untitled Freddie Mercury Biopic. That's the top 20. I just wanted to point this out. And we have no idea when the fucking Freddie Mercury biopic is coming out, but Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to it.
Yeah.
And he dropped out of it for some reason. So, where's number 2? Who does number 2 work for?
I would say it has to be Episode 8.
It's not even on here. John Wick, The Death and Life of John F. Donovan.
Okay.
Untitled Jeremy Renner.
Who Killed Don Quixote?
Who Killed Don Quixote, I can't wait to see because fucking A, finally. Tom Jones movie. Kickboxer Retaliation.
You know what's going to be awesome about the Tom Jones movie?
Get out. My Friend Dahmer. Slice. Dude, there's a shirt that has the Run DMC logo, but instead of Run DMC, it says Show Nuff. And it's got the dude from The Last Dragon on it.
Yeah, Show Nuff.
Yeah.
Who's the baddest?
Show Nuff.
Show Nuff.
Anyways.
All right. So the next movie, of course, that we'll be seeing is brought to you by that bank. What was the name of that bank?
Synchrony. Synchronicity.
Brought to you and
by
the
police's
Synchronicity. Bank. We're going to see Dr. Freaking Strange.
Dr. Freaking Strange.
Dr. Freaking Strange.
Tomorrow.
Totally. We're going to totally see him.
Totally.
So we'll see that. We'll let you know. It's getting a high approval rating with all the critics, which
great.
Most Marvel movies are.
I have not read one fucking review for that.
I have not read the reviews. I overheard someone say something about it's very comparable to the first Iron Man, storyline wise.
Who said that?
I can't remember. It was on some like web page.
How fucking dare they?
So it's very comparable story wise, you know, the introduction, story line kind of thing. So anyway, We will talk about that next time on A Couple of Average Joes. Sorry for such a shitty review this week, but you know what? Sometimes when I see a shitty movie and I can't really make that much fun of it, I got nothing to really say about the goddamn thing. So thanks. Thank you, Mike, for picking up the slack this time.
I can't help it if you suck.
I do suck, and you know, I'll bring the funk next time.
Really?
With Doctor Strange.
You're fucking better.
All right, so for A Couple of Average Joes, I am Joe Spiegel.
Mike Sutherland.
Movie reviews, all that good shit. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Good show! Jolly good show! Jolly good show indeed!
Hakuna Matata, bitches!
Please share the podcast. The more people that listen, the better off we are. Thanks again.
For more great podcasts and my movie reviews, don't forget to visit www.acoupleofaverageshows.com.
This is the end. It's the end. Finito! The end, I tell you! We're all going to nibble the dust!
Or go fuck yourself.